This afternoon, I desire to encourage parents and all who are called to lead and serve the youth of this world. The Lord revealed to Joseph Smith that we have an imperative duty that we owe to all the rising generation. Throughout my life as a father and a grandfather, I have pondered the question, what is my duty to God in relationship to youth? May I share some of what I've learned by way of personal reflection and testimony? For all of us, doing our duty to God as parents and leaders begins with leading by example, consistently and diligently living gospel principles at home. This takes daily determination and diligence. For youth, there is no substitute for seeing the gospel lived in our daily lives. The stripling warriors did not have to wonder what their parents believed. They said, "We do not doubt. Our mothers knew it." Do our children know what we know? I have a grandson who once asked me to go with him to a popular but inappropriate movie. I told him I wasn't old enough to see that film. He was puzzled until his grandmother explained to him that the rating system by age didn't apply to Grandpa. He came back to me and said, "I get it now, Grandpa. You're never going to be old enough to see that movie, are you?" And he was right. Besides showing youth the way to by example, we lead by understanding their hearts and walking alongside them on the gospel path. To truly understand their hearts, we must do more than just be in the same room or attain the same family and church activities. We must plan and take advantage of teaching moments that make a deep and lasting impression upon their minds and hearts. For example, church leaders regularly plan priesthood and scouting, powwows and encampments. But do these activities always accomplish their most important purpose? I have learned that what makes a priesthood or scout activity most meaningful to a boy is not to just get a merit badge, but having the opportunity to sit and talk with a leader who is interested to him about the things which are most interesting in his life. Similarly, mothers and dads, as you drive or walk children to school in their various activities, do you use the time to tell them about their hopes and dreams and fears and joys? Do you take the time to take the earplugs from the iPods and all the other devices so that they can hear you and feel of your love? The more I live, the more I recognize that the teaching moments in my youth, especially those provided by my parents, have shaped my life and made me who I am. It is impossible to overestimate the influence of parents who understand the hearts of their children. Research shows that during the most important transitions of life, including those periods when youth are most likely to drift away from the church, the greatest influence does not come from an interview with the bishop or some other leader, but the regular, warm, friendly, caring interaction with parents. With that in mind, when we sit down at the dinner table, is the whole family there? I remember as a young man asking permission to play baseball through dinner time. I said, "Just put my meal in the oven," to my mother. She responded, "Robert, I really want you to take a break, come home, be with the family for dinner, and then you can go out and play baseball until dark." She taught all of us that where family meals are concerned, it's not the food, but the family interaction that nourishes the soul. My mother taught the greatest love we give is within our home. For our interactions with youth to truly touch their hearts, we have to pay attention to them just as we have to pay attention to a trusted adult colleague or a close friend. Most important is asking them questions, letting them talk, and then being willing to listen. Yes, listen. And listen some more. Even hearken with spiritual ears. Several years ago, I was reading the newspaper when one of my grandsons snuggled up to me. As I read, I delighted to hear his sweet little voice chattering on in the background. Imagine my surprise when a few moments later, he pushed himself between me and the newspaper, taking my face in his hands and pressing his nose up to mine. He asked, "Grandpa, are you in there?" Mother, Father, are you there? Grandpa, Grandma, are you there? Being there means understanding the hearts of our youth and connecting with them. And connecting with them means not just conversing with them, but doing things with them too. Recently, I heard a mother recount how she had helped her first three daughters complete their personal progress requirements by doing what was expected, staying informed and signing off projects. Then she tenderly explained, tears flowing down her cheek, "Recently, I've been working with my fourth daughter by actually participating and doing her projects with her. It has made all the difference in our lives and our relationship. But oh, what sadness I feel when I realize what I lost by not doing this with my other three daughters." The saddest words of tongue and pen are those that say, "It might have been." Adult members of the church should understand that personal progress and duty to God requirements are not just lengthy lists of items to check off. They are personal goals set by each young man and young woman to help them become worthy to receive temple ordinances, serve missions, enter into eternal marriage, and enjoy exaltation. But let it be understood, for young men and young women to try to accomplish these goals alone would be a great loss and tragedy. Fathers, mothers, leaders of youth, we urge you to participate in personal progress and duty to God with your children and with the youth. Not only will they grow, you will grow. And just importantly, you will grow together in bond of faith and friendship that will allow you to strengthen each other and stay on the gospel path forever, to indeed to be an eternal family. An equally important part of fulfilling our parental duty to God is teaching the children the gospel by preparing them to participate fully in the Savior's restored church. Remember the lesson of King Benjamin's people. As a result of his teaching, many of the adults had a mighty change of heart. But then it says, "But there were many of the rising generation that could not understand the words of King Benjamin, being little children at the time he spake unto his people, and they did not believe, and their hearts were hardened." It is our imperative duty to help youth understand and believe the gospel in a deeply personal way. We can teach them to walk in the light, but they cannot have that light from borrowed light given to them. They must earn it for themselves. They must obtain their own light of testimony directly from the source of spiritual light, God Himself, through prayer and study and pondering. They must understand who they are and who Heavenly Father wants them to be. How do we help them? When we have a family home evening, a family council, or a meaningful gospel conversation with our children, we have the opportunity to look them in the eyes and tell them we love them and that Heavenly Father loves them. In these sacred settings, we can also help them understand deep in their hearts who they are and how fortunate they are to have come to Earth to be in our home and to participate in the covenants we've taken in the temple to be a family forever. In every interaction we share, we demonstrate the principles of blessings of the gospel. In these perilous times, it's not enough for our youth to merely know, they must do. On this Easter Sunday, I would hope that we would have the opportunity of bearing our testimony that we know that God lives, that Jesus is the Christ. I would hope that we would bear our testimony that our children might know where our heart is, that we might bear our testimony that we love them. The greatest love shown will be in our homes. That we be able to testify and teach with the greatest teachings being in our home. I would hope that for those who desire to have missionary work, that they would understand that the greatest missionary service that they will ever give will be in their homes. The greatest rescue, the greatest activation will be in our homes. And yes, the greatest family history, the greatest family heritage, the greatest family legacy will come from our love in our homes for the generations that follow us. I ask the Lord's blessings to be with the parents, to be with the youth that are brought up in faithful homes, that they will understand the joy it is to be in the home they were brought to, that they might be loved, directed, and guided, that we may have eternal families and be together forever in the presence of God the Father and our Son and His Son, Jesus Christ. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.